The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ParaX, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Coming to you live from planet Earth's real Gotham City. My name is Ra, and I'm here to awaken the dormant particles spiraling inside your DNA. So come with me as we go further down the mystical spiral of life, Spiral Radio, where each and every week we unveil the different shades of you and the different shades of me until we all vibrate the same frequency. Listen, everybody, we got a really action-packed night. In our hour that we got, we're going to like take you deep down spiral the spiral. Radio. Where each and every week, we unveil the different shades of you up and the different shades of me. I can hear my echo back to me right now. There it goes. It comes back. There. Now everything's okay. For a second, I heard my echo. Like I was saying, everything's great. Maybe it's some interference trying to keep with us down, keeping us. But when you have a message to be heard, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to get your message across no matter what. No one can keep you down. Tonight, we have a great guest. She is amazing. I can't, I could talk just an hour trying to give you a bio on her if I wanted to. Her name is Solaris Blue Raven. If you want to look her up right now while I'm giving you a little intro about her, she's at solarisblueraven.webs.com. That's S-O-L-A-R-I-S, blueraven.webs.com. Now, she has many things. She has her own show, Hyperspace. It's on KCOR Radio, Friday nights at 12 midnight Eastern. She also has another show that she's been doing for a very long time called Revolution Radio. And that's also at 12 midnight on Saturdays. And Solaris Blue Raven, she's a world-class psychic, everyone. She's a clairvoyant. She's a remote viewer. She does tarot, oracle readings, timeline, astrology sessions. She's an author. She's a second-degree black belt. She has a background in the craft like me. And she's also a skilled master teacher in the healing arts. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a published author as well. I forgot to mention, she also has her own documentary. You can get her on Amazon. She has a brand new book that's called A Million Miles to Midnight. And without further ado, I want to welcome to Spiral Radio, Solaris Blue Raven. Welcome.
Oh, thank you, Ra. Thank you for having me on tonight. Appreciate it.
It's my honor.
Yeah, it's my honor to be here. It's great.
Now, it was cool how you, when you had heard me, I think you had heard me as a guest on another show, maybe the Truth Sentinel or something that's on the
right.
Dark Matter.
Yeah, exactly.
And you had contacted me, and the minute you contacted me, I felt like such a strong energy coming off of you. Like you were overwhelming, like a tidal wave. And it was just a few words that you said to me, like, you know, that, you know, oh, I really like what you, I heard you, I really, and then like when I got a connection with you. I was like, wow, she's very overwhelming, like a very strong energy about you. You're an amazing person. And in the next hour, I'm guaranteed whoever's listening right now, you will see and you will know how great of a person she is and what she's been through. And to be able to come out of that and be an inspiration and help heal others at the end of her story, like that way, you know, that she's like an infinite cosmic being of wonder and light. And, you know, her story is never ending. I shouldn't have said it like that. I meant that she went through a whole dark, horrible ordeals, and she came out of it with her wits and able to help and heal others through it. And that's why you're great. I love it.
Well, thank you, Ron. Likewise, I have a great deal of respect for you as well. And as someone who's very advanced in the craft yourself, you do have a nice frequency as well. So it's very electrically charged. So thank you. Yeah, thank you for the kind words. And it's been quite a journey, as you know, but we all go through these tides and we learn how to navigate and become stronger in the process.
Yeah, and we got a full chat room, everybody, on the PowerX Network. We got a full chat room right now. And we're all listening live with Solaris Blue Raven, if you're just joining us. And Solaris, I mean, if you want to just let people know a little bit about yourself, because I have a lot of questions I want to ask you. So I don't know if you want to start first and just like give people a little, you know, brief history of, you know, how you came into the whole, like maybe like when you first started getting, you know, to know that you were a psychic and you know, what happened, you know.
You'll have to cut
I have a lot of questions.
Okay, great. So I'll just give everybody a rundown. Obviously, you know, we all have abilities when we're children and we all become very, very advanced and psychic to some degree. I just wound up in a family in the illusion of that was very much into, first of all, they were high ranking on a Masonic level. They were high ranking Masons on my mother's side. We also were into the Eastern Stars. There was a lot of mysticism involved. So I kind of grew with these abilities. I had them as a young child and they just kept advancing and advancing. And then once you start realizing that you have something outside the box, you just pursue it on a spiritual level. You just start going into those levels and corridors of mysticism. Consciousness. You start educating yourself, whether it's self-education or through initiations. So I went through many levels of that. You know, I started off self-educating, and then I went through initiations and formal initiations through the craft, and then started advancing as a high priestess and doing a lot of work on the along the lines of ascension and DNA activation, which is really my area because I do love mystical alchemy. So I started doing those things, which literally changed people's frequencies. They literally alter the molecular structure of the being through consciousness, through frequency. It's not New Age. It's actually ancient mystery school teachings. And that was the passage I had walked for many, many, many decades, and also started formulating, because I'm a martial artist and instructor, I started doing teaching and teaching martial arts. And I had students and a wonderful class and all sorts of good stuff. And I was also a map maker. So I'm trying to give you guys a benchmark insofar as where I've been on the timeline. And then in 2004, I was pulled into a covert assault program, which dealt with artificial intelligence and transhumanism to some degree with the artificial telepathy with a live handler real time. And this included a high profile band. If you want me to mention their name, that's fine. And parties involved, it was the members of Rush.
Whatever you're free with mentioning, just go ahead.
Okay, so it was the people that inducted me into this program was the band Rush, the Canadian band. Neil Peart, Geddy Lee, Alex Lifeson. Neil Peart was the primary handler with, Michael J. Mosbach, who was literally one of the main programmers in the whole ordeal. And when you get pulled into these programs, let me explain it to you a little bit. They triangulate you remotely, so you don't have to go outside and be taken somewhere in a van. They literally take you, they do a surveillance on your home. They start hacking into your computers, doing remote access and surveillance. They do physical plants will be around your property after a while or in your neighborhood. And eventually your computer gets hacked and you get hacked. And what they do is a remote brain hack. And I know this sounds really out there, but it's truly how the technology works. And if you're an advanced being, if you have a very strong, what I call Merkaba signal or electromagnetic field aura, if you've done a lot of spiritual work, you're really, really easy to access because your frequency's really expanded. It's not that you're not protected, it's that you're extremely powerful. So what they do is they triangulate the target and then interconnect you live field real time with a live handler, operators, controllers, and programmers, and with an artificial intelligence communication system. I was interconnected with the band live feed real time in 2004, and I was interconnected with Michael J. Mosbach. And when they communicated with me, they were running programs on me with pattern recognition, remote viewing, All kinds of different programs were being run with numbers and serial codes. And the artificial telepathy itself, let me explain what it does. It's actually used for sci-fi technology. So you don't need a headset. You don't need radios. You don't need walkie-talkie. So if anybody's ever wondering why on earth would a band like Rush be involved in this, well, it's a perfect surveillance system. It's perfect because if you're a candidate for the technology, it works really well. And if you research Michael J. Mosbach, my primary handler for this whole ordeal, his business, Ashkelon, is completely about cyber warfare, covert technology, surveillance. He's also been contracted with high-ranking presidents, military contracts, covert government contracts. So there's a lot in there in case anybody wants to do the research. And also, you can start digging around yourselves. Excuse me. And start seeing that if you listen to some of the lyrics in the band, you'll see that their communication was always about signals intelligence, whether people get it or not. But I think at some level, people do. So that's the level of communication I went through, which literally took my life away. I was married. I had a career. I had students. I had a life. And they took it away because when you get inducted into this program, it puts you through shock. It literally shocks your system into a transhumanism bioelectric field. In other words, you have your normal electromagnetic field, and then they interconnect you with their version. It's like Frankenstein. They reanimate you. And they can remotely control you in the process. So that whole thing, it's like I died and I relived in another formula and destroyed my life completely. I was thwarted onto Maui. And in 2006, I actually testified against the band because this was Michael J. Mosbach suggesting I testify in front of a magistrate. But literally, he set me up in the courtroom. So I testified and the judge was pretty much paid off. So nothing was accomplished in that. But I did have an NSA ex-operative insofar as signals intelligence lawyer shadowing that case. And so what we did was we kept documenting everything because they were getting away with this crime. So literally they got away with the communication system and the assault they did to me, which my lawyer called assault and battery with a directed energy weapon. And wow. It's not like it just happens like you get hit in a car accident or something and it's like, okay, you get bumped and you're done. This is a perpetual thing that literally feeds off the life force, your prana, your Merkaba, your spiritual energy. It hijacks you with, and it creates an electronic AI brain to interface with you. If you look at the Snakes and Arrows album with Rush, feedback was created because of me. And so that's what Pert is one of his codes to his feedback, you know, insofar as the feedback of the artificial intelligence. Because when you're dealing with artificial telepathy, if you say a word or a sentence, this thing will communicate and bounce back an entire sentence with you. It starts overriding or trying to program you. If you have a real handler live feed real time, which I started off with, they'll try to tell you what you're supposed to do, what you can't do. And if you don't tolerate that or if you don't comply, then they use remote tactical hardware to take you to the ground, create vertigo. They can create all sorts of harmful things.
And a handler, for everybody that is not familiar with the lingo, a handler is basically your programmer, right? Who's programming you. And just to, before we go back, I want to just correct everybody. When I give her the intro, her show Witching Hour is the one on Revolution Radio. Hyperspace is on KCOR, right?
Thank you, Ra. Yeah, thank you. Yeah,
I'm sorry about that. Okay, now, how did you first, how did the band first find out who you were?
Well, it's interesting because if you go back into the 80s, and this is an interesting little story, but literally, I didn't know who the band Rush was. I had no idea. I never really listened to their music. And somebody told me, because they watched all the writing that I did. I used to write a lot, and I wrote poetry. And somebody said, "You write just like Neil Peart." And I said, "Well, I don't know who he is." And they played 2112 for me, excuse me. And then that was where I started understanding that, okay, well, I can see a parallel. Yeah, I could see a parallel in the writing, and the music was okay. Well, he had a drum solo contest back in the 80s, and I thought it would be amusing to send some of my poetry to him, and I did, you know, tongue-in-cheek, because I'm not a drummer, but I thought, well, I'm just going to go ahead and send this through. And he sent me a postcard back, you know, with a nice little comment, you know, nothing weird or anything. And at that point in the continuum, it seemed like there was always I would always send him stuff, just to send him poems, send him whatever, and he'd send me a postcard back. So I wound up getting correspondence with him out into the 80s and the 90s. So he knew who I was. And what happened was when I was teaching my martial arts in my kickboxing class, one of my students came up to me with the old Vapor Trails album or cassette or whatever it was and said that, I'm really sorry what happened to his family. And I had no idea because I had lost touch with him. And he said that apparently they had died in this tragic accident. And so I felt bad because I broke orbit with him. I never communicated with him later on. So I sent my book, Transmutation Through Ascension, as a book, as in just being a nice enlightenment book for someone who's had a loss, right? So I sent it out of innocence. I really didn't send it with any agenda in any form or design. I sent it over to Rick Van Horn, managing editor to Modern Drummer Magazine, because Rick Van Horn has always been the one I've sent my stuff to, and Rick would send it over
just
to
like
me.
Just like, I'm sorry for your loss. Here's a nice little gift. I hope you have,
Right. I had no anticipation whatsoever that this guy was going to do something like this, but he did. And I think a lot of it has to do with Mossbach, because Mossbach showed up on the scene later on. And when I was in communication with Pert in the 80s and the 90s, Mossbach wasn't around. So whatever it was, I think they were trying to try out, first of all, a lot of technology that's exotic. And secondly, it worked really well with me and they got overwhelmed with it. And then when things didn't work out in a sense that I was going to, you know, pretty much I started turning them in because it's abuse. That's when the thing started ramping up insofar as technology goes and them trying to create damage control, which they certainly did. If you go onto the Rush website at the time, they were using their fans as human shields against me. And at one point, you know, I was working surveillance at the casino and they came to town. And they were playing over there at Red Rocks, and they kept saying, well, you know, if you see her, they have a picture of me. They're passing around saying, oh, if you see her, she's armed and dangerous. Turn her in. You know, and I don't care if it was a joke or not. It wasn't funny. But it was my town. This is where I live, you know. And so, we were laughing in the surveillance room. We're like, can you believe these jackets? Oh, excuse my French, but I don't swear. But, you know, literally. So it got kind of out of hand. I mean, it really did. And what I'll tell you about this technology is that it violates your free will. In other words, in someone like you, Ra, who's so advanced in consciousness, the last thing you want is something trying to dictate your thoughts. Or try to edit you as a being, as a multidimensional star being. And this is what it does. And go ahead.
You being like psychically gifted as well and a high intuitive, you probably were aware that it was technology right away. You could feel the difference, right?
I actually started laughing when they first inducted me. I said, oh, this is man-made. And because I'm saying being natural ascended being, that it's a joke. I mean, and they knew this. And then they kept saying, well, I'm the angel of death. And they were being smart alecky, and I started laughing, and I said, well, so am I. You know, I was giving them right back to them, and I think they were kind of intrigued by it to some degree, but at the same time, they had me so hardwired into the program that I don't think they could actually pull away. So it did get very, very ugly and very aggressive, and as I said, it's all about mind control. It's all about editing and censoring a target and recruiting a target for possible employment. Monarch, Manchurian, you name it, they can do it, and they do it remotely, and this is my biggest concern, Ra. They don't need to take you away anymore physically. They don't need to use electroshocks and medication. They can remotely target an individual through satellite-driven technology. And if anybody thinks this is woo-hoo, we have patents for the black satellites. Talk to Colonel Aquino, who's been on my show. He'll tell you point blank. We have the capability. We deploy it all the time.
See, you're talking about Colonel Michael Aquino, right?
Yes.
From the Temple
of
Set?
Correct.
And you're friends with him. You've had him on your show before?
I've had him on my show. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's certain things he can't talk about because it's super classified, but at the same time, he was willing to communicate quite a bit.
See, I won't go there. I understand. I totally understand.
You know? Yeah, no, I agree. I've heard it too, and that's why, but you know me, as someone who's been in these dark tides, I've walked in hells that nobody wants to walk through. I mean, people have their fantasies about certain areas they've been in that they think is really super evil and stuff. I'll tell you what, man, I've walked into so many hells. It's a miracle I'm alive, Ra. I've died and lived so many times over for the past 12 years. I can't believe I'm still here, to be honest with you.
See, sometimes that draconian magic, though, too, it's they want to get an individual and shatter their mind so they're easily programmed, like make them push them to the point where their mind shatters.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
right.
and they can easily program them.
Yeah, you know, and they can create alters too
later
on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is, go ahead. I don't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead. This is for you to go on. I just was wondering, like, you think when you sent that book to him, that now they knew your new address, now they had a way to put their technology inside your house and they knew where you were. They knew that you were highly psychic, and they wanted to use your psychic abilities for their covert technology.
Correct. And you know what's really bizarre, and I'll mention this. I've mentioned it before on previous interviews, but when they first inducted me, they kept trying to change my name. And they said, your name's Selena Taylor. You were born April 22nd. Well, Selena Taylor is his pseudo-daughter that died. And why would they want me to have that alter? I don't know. But they were really insistent about changing my identity. And I kept saying, no, that's not my name. No, that's not my birthday. You know, and then they kept pushing. But then I started researching MKUltra, and I started realizing that that's how they create alters. They try to entrain you nonstop with data. And it was very, very strange. I'm telling you, it was almost like Pert was trying to retrieve something in me. And it's like, you know, I'm a very expanded being, but I don't play the game of what they're doing. They're doing some weaponization of what I call occultism. So they're very much into the occult. All of them are. I mean, but at the same time, they're using technology to manipulate that and weaponize it to some degree.
And when people say occult, it's not always evil. It just means hidden, like mystery, you know.
Right.
And it's crazy because even in the chat room, they were saying how, you know, other people are copycats off this. Because when I first heard this, you know, I didn't know about this whole Rush ordeal with you until a few weeks ago or a month ago. And so I started looking it up. And after your case, when it first started in 2004, there's been people that copycatted and tried to take them to court as well.
Wow, I'd like to see that. If you guys have that information, send it to me on my email. I'd really like to see it because my lawyer probably would like to see it as well.
High amount of money, and they dismissed it right away. The judge dismissed it, but it was for a real big sum of money too.
Very interesting. Well, yeah, I think there are copycats. And when I first had to testify, it was 2006. I don't know. Did Mossbach show up in the courtroom like what he did with me?
Read into it that much.
Okay, I'll look into it because I have a real transcript with these guys. I mean, I have a real benchmark and rapport with these people, unfortunately. So it's legitimate, you know, and they really screwed me over in the courtroom. So I do know that there are copycats, and I wouldn't wish this on anybody. I wouldn't be one of those people that would want to be part of this. It's not cool, but I will tell you one thing. All of their wives and their inner circle understand and know this technology very well, and they all keep their mouths shut because they want to keep that money in their bank accounts, and they don't want to. I mean, I'll tell you what, they will never, ever, ever tell the truth. I can guarantee you, Ra, I would be shocked if they ever came forward.
Yeah, Solaris, now, I'm just going to ask you straight out. Do you think Satanists are pulling the strings behind, like, the covert ops weaponized technology that's going on? You think it's a lot of Satanists?
I think that they're definitely into whatever you want to call Satan. You know, I have a book out on Eye of the Remote Black Operations in Areas Bell 52, and I describe Satan as a program because it's about control manipulation. If you want to take Satan,
domination, that reptilian type, that's what I mean by it.
And harness it into a matrix and use this matrix to control and manipulate the masses, you have Satan. If you want to take the Christ consciousness and illuminate the masses, you have a different formula there. And there are, if you talk to Dr. Robert Duncan, who is actually some of the developers of some of the technology I was exposed to, there are programs that are acronyms for Satan. And there are different Lucifer-type programs that they use for mind control. So, yeah, there is a parallel to that. And I'll tell you, these guys are very insidious. They didn't care that my life was being shattered. They didn't care they were hurting me. They didn't care that my husband's heart was broken in the whole thing because we basically didn't have a marriage anymore. Our marriage was dissolved in 4 months' time because I wasn't verbally communicating with him. He thought I was being drugged. He was going to talk to my doctor. And you and I both know, as athletes, we don't do drugs. We're clean. Once a blue moon, I have a beer or something. But as an athlete, you stay clean. You don't do anything that's altering your brainwave activity, except for meditation and things like that. But very, very weird stuff would happen. And it's a shame that it happened to begin.
And when you do stuff, you feel guilty about it. Like when I was a teenager, I got involved with drugs for a little while. I was trying to numb myself, and I couldn't, every night I would like cry myself to sleep. Oh, I couldn't even, you know, it would be horrible.
Right. Exactly. And there's always an avenue out of that, as you know. But I will tell you, their whole idea is to get you medicated in one form or another. And this particular frequency transmissions that they use put you in a hypnotic space. So what they did to me was actually, it was almost like I wasn't asleep, but I was in a trance space, able to communicate just fine and functioned for the most part. But it was all animated and automated. And it was very, very interesting. And this is, I think, was the precursor to transhumanism. I think I was almost one of the original test pilots for some of the transhumanism programming. And it went really well. And let me tell you something. When I worked on Maui, because I got thwarted out there after the divorce, and I started doing security and surveillance, which I had no interest in doing, that was all Mossbach as a handler, I swear to God, because I fell into surveillance. It was like it fell into my lap completely. People hired me, wanted me to work for them. I go to the office for security, and the secretary would look at me and go, Solaris, the White House? And I'd be like, what? Because they were calling my boss? And then that place got broken into and files were taken of the personnel. I mean, I'm telling you, Ra, I could tell you stories that you wouldn't freaking believe. And it's some of it's in my book, Eye of the Remote series. You can shut me up because I can go on and on about this.
No, it's that's why I have you on, because, you know, you could go. It's amazing. It's like you said, it's amazing that you made it out with your wits and that you're able to be so intelligent and charismatic and, you know, and heal people as well.
And thank you for saying that. You know, the sad part of this is if there's an old, if you can actually Google it, I don't know if they've taken it off the Google internet or not, but there was an interview Pert did a long time ago saying he was schizophrenic. He's not schizophrenic at all. He's been interfaced with the technology, and I think it's shattered him to some degree. I think he's really messed up.
Neil Peart, the drummer, right?
Correct. Yeah. And what's interesting is that when I talked to Michael J. Mossbach on Maui in person, face to face, right? And I asked him about this hearing. We call it a special hearing because that's the communication code. And I asked him how long is this going to last? And he looked at me and goes, how long do you want it to last? In a very sarcastic way. And then secondly, I asked him, I said, well, you have a hearing like this. And he goes, yeah, I used to. Well, he's the one who pulled me into the program live feed real time.
So he was your handler, you think?
He was the primary handler with Pert. And the other members were in and out, so to speak, with programming. But it was mainly him and Pert that were doing the major programming with me back in 2000.
So basically, Neil Peart and all those guys probably at one time were innocent as well. And they saw that they got to a certain financial and certain status in the world, and they said, hey, if we turn these guys and we get them to use our technology, then we really got something.
Right. I do believe at some point in the continuum, I believe Pert was a very smart man. And I think that he had a lot of brilliant ideas that they probably hijacked. Somehow he got lured into that program, and somehow he got stuck and trapped in it. But the problem I see with him is that instead of him coming forward like I did, he decided to lie about it and do harm to others with it. And that's not okay. And so I'm the only one who stood up against it. I'm the only one who said, hey, this is wrong. You can't ruin people's lives like this. You can't misuse covert assault programs. And as someone who loves spirit and soul and mysticism and consciousness like I do, I want people to excel in consciousness. I want them to become light beings. I want them to advance. I don't want to see them entangled in this crappy AI matrix. And it really is, Ra. It's a disgusting control mechanism.
It's a material world program, some kind of material world program. And people need to understand too, like, people think it's a joke when Hollywood and the entertainment industry, they're throwing up these ancient symbols and they're using all these ancient terms and ancient, like, you know, in their performances, they're doing certain symbolic rituals to ancient Babylon and things like that. People don't understand. Hollywood and entertainment industry is interfaced with this technology. Mm-hmm. They're interweaving with each other, and they're putting it out there, and they're programming people one by one.
Yep, they certainly are. You have it exactly correct. And one thing I like about you and beings like us is that we're game changers on the timeline. In other words, we're the real lineage. You know, we were talking about your ancestry off air, and my ancestry is very old too. And I know that we have the original components to what we call full light ascension. In other words, what they're trying to do, they're like people who have stolen our ancient celestial design work and have tried to manipulate the masses with it. But we're actually the pure source to that. We're like King Arthur who pulls the sword out, you know. We're literally the ones who have it. I swear to you, we are. And I think that's why we become targeted to some degree on the timeline, because I never saw this coming, and I'm very psychic. I guarantee you, I didn't get any premonitions at all. These guys just, they were basically out of sync with the multiverse by doing what they did to me, because I would have known.
Yeah. Well, you were supposed to, you know, especially, you know, people like that's the head of awakening, because everybody has this in them. They can do, you know, they can tap into their spiritual, their Merkaba, their pineal gland. They could do all that. But see, I think that we tend to attract this technology, these people that want to use our abilities against us. We tend to attract them. Mm-hmm. And who knows, this whole storm that's right now, the Hurricane Matthew, it could have been generated by some DARPA technology, so they have access to Disney World to do some install some programming technology in Disney World. Like, it could be serious like that. I know that sounds bizarre.
No, it doesn't, because they do have the technology to control, manipulate earthquakes. You name it, they can do it. Tsunamis. Yeah, I was very suspicious about the size of this thing. It looks abnormal to me.
And why do they want it so the parks are closed as well? And Disney, I think, is a known thing for programming.
Mm-hmm. You know, absolutely. Yeah, it's all Monarch. If you talk to anybody who's known about, you know, Monarch programming and MKUltra, unfortunately, they've been using an underground and spin-off. Disney programs are all embedded in all of their movies and films and animation, unfortunately.
We got about 2 minutes to break. Guys, if you're just joining us, we're with Solaris Blue Raven. She's at solarisblueraven.webs.com. She's got two shows, Hyperspace, Ravenstar Witching Hour, and you're with me, Ra, from Spiral Radio. And I'm at themysticalspiral.com. Like I said, we got 2 minutes to break. And I was wondering before because we're going to get right back into, you know, about your life after break. I was wondering if you think all these killer clown sightings that's going on right now. I had some insider tell me that, all right, some people think it's hard to grasp this stuff too as well. But you've heard of Project Bluebeam, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
So some of these clown sightings I've heard were holographic, Project Bluebeam, you know, type projections, like the ones that are underneath like a street lamp and would disappear. They would flash money or have like a bloody face or holding a weapon. And then simultaneously, some kind of electronic ELF, VLF, or LF waves were affecting people's minds, interweaving with their thinking and forming some kind of artificial thought, telling me, you know, programming them, you know. Mm-hmm. And now it's activated people, making them dress like clowns, making them shoot each other, making them go crazy. And this is, you know, now they know the technology works. And now the next step is some kind of alien invasion or some kind of supernatural religious event, something like that. You think that's possible?
Well, absolutely, because they do have the capability to create a projection scene through the, and you've seen this in Vegas. If you don't believe me, go check out Vegas when they have the Elvis or somebody like that. I mean, they can do amazing things with holograms right now. But the psychotronic weapon system, they have an array system that's AI intelligence with the black satellites. They basically interconnect all those satellites, and they can project and literally influence the masses on a global scale as a hive collective. So, and if you're really awake and free in consciousness, you won't be affected as much. Like, beings like us, I think, have immunity. But there are people out there who are not connected, who don't get it, who are going to be influenced by this. And I do think that a lot of what's going on the timeline, the hostility, the rage, oh, absolutely. I think it's a form of mind control. And they have ultra-low frequency, which was confirmed through my lawyer, who's X-Signals yeah. Intelligence, that distributes wow. and actually manipulates brainwaves.
Wow.
And they can see that through microwave towers, too, by the way.
You're listening to Spiral Radio. We're with Solaris Blue Raven. We'll be back in a minute. The song from coming up right now is from is called Radio Lena, and it's from Far Radio Clouds. Spiral out.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para X.
And you're back. My name is Ra, and this is the Mystical Spiral Radio TMS, and we're at themysticalspiral.com. and my guest, Solaris Blue Raven. She's at solarisblueraven.webs.com. And like I said before, if you're just joining us, she's got two amazing shows, Raving Star Witching Hour at the 12 stroke of midnight on Eastern Time at Revolution Radio and Hyperspace on KCOR Radio, Fridays at 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time. She's a remote viewer, everyone. She's a psychic, world class. She's a second degree black belt. She's an amazing author, and her new book, you got to get on Amazon right now, A Million Miles to Midnight. Welcome back with us, Solaris.
Thank you, Ra. Thank you for the beautiful introduction, too, by the way. It's a real honor to be with you tonight. Really enjoying being on the show.
Thank you, and I'm looking forward. I'm going to be on her show, Witching Hour, on, what is it, the 14th? Or?
Yeah, it's coming up here, right?
Yeah, yeah, I can't wait. The full moon, the full black moon, too.
Excellent. Yeah, no, it's the 15th. I'm sorry. Yeah,
15th.
So it'll be October 15th. And then, of course, you're going to be
Saturday
on Hyperspace, too. Yeah, yeah. So tune in, everybody, at freedomslips.com, Studio A.
Cool. And it's we got the Sagittarius crescent moon tonight. It's beautiful outside.
It's gorgeous. Yeah, absolutely. That's a good time to have a conversation.
Yep. And I'm here in the real Gotham City. And Solaris is coming from an undisclosed place high in the snowy cap mountains.
Oh, I'm telling you. Yeah. But they always manage to find me, Ra.
Yeah, you know, your signal's too strong.
Guess so. Get another Faraday cage set up or something.
So do you think that you were talking about timelines and stuff like that before? Do you think that CERN is kind of creating some kind of Mandela effect? Like the, you know, and I mean like the Nelson Mandela, like that kind of Mandela effect. Like, I don't know if people are familiar with that term, but I know
Yeah, I have heard that, and I've done a little bit of research on it. I will tell you, CERN's doing something to manipulate frequency, and when you're manipulating frequency, you're manipulating dimensional space. So we can look at it like that. I do think what's happening is because the internet has become one of these virtual libraries, that they're starting to do mind control programming and game playing where they're trying to change information on the internet and mess with people. But I do see CERN as the possibilities are they can simulate a black hole. And if they decide to simulate black hole technology, then yeah, we could be in big trouble. I can also tell you that technology, if they knew what they were doing, we could actually jump this planet and the illusion of from here to another area in the multiverse if they knew what they were doing. In other words, we would actually wake up one day and we'd see like maybe different big, huge, enormous planets around us and a whole different matrix, because really we're dealing with energy and consciousness and frequency. And once you start realizing that all the planets in the solar system, everything you're seeing is all vibrating at frequency, then you'll understand that. And, you know, even Tesla touched on this. And of course, we understand it from the path of mysticism, that it's really about frequency and modulating frequency and understanding levels of consciousness.
Yeah, and we're like these beings. Like I was talking to my friend Masaki Miyagawa, who's actually, I think he might be in the chat room as well. I had him on my show last week for Fallen Angel Friday.
Cool.
And we were talking how, you know, yeah, it was really cool. It was the last Friday of the month, I do Fallen Angels Fridays, where we go in through the whole topic of either, you know, our existence, the fallen angels, the watchers, the Nephilim, all that whole thing, you know.
Nice.
You know, and it's a broad topic. You know, even like L.A. Marzulli's, his whole research is this, you know, is for that. You know, he goes the more Christian aspect.
Right.
But yeah. So I was talking with Masaki about it, and like we are these interesting beings that are, we have this gift. We're the only species on this planet that can tap into both the inferior and superior realms, above and below us. And we're supposed to be able to, like, if harmony is not right on this planet and evolution, spiritual evolution is at a halt, we're supposed to be able to increase that celestial influx between realms to bring back the spiritual evolution. And I think that all this technology and the powers that be is what's creating a veil over our consciousness and limiting, you know, limiting that in a major way.
Absolutely. You know, I call it the pillar of light, which you're describing within each of us. I mean, those of us who are what I call star seeds, because not everybody, I believe, is wired this way, but I do believe there are certain beings like us, and we could be descendants of the Nephilim. But when I look at the Nephilim, and I've been called a lot of things, believe me, even one of those, I don't think that's an insult, because we are very advanced species. I mean, when you start going to levels of vibratory rate and consciousness, and especially with Merkaba, you're beginning to understand the higher aspects of who we are as multidimensional beings. And that includes our avatar abilities, which we integrate in. And those of us who are on the path of the craft know how to integrate and channel and run as conduits of energy. So when we're doing this, we're probably a threat because we're able to, first of all, break down their matrix. It's a polarization. It's basically, as they try to build up the lie, we're breaking it down. So there's a battlefield here. And I believe there is a frequency war. There's a consciousness war and a spiritual war, however you want to define it. I know it. And, yeah. You know, I'm pretty sure that they probably knew that there was something about me that was probably going to be an adversary because I stand up as a pillar of light, you know, that yeah. I don't believe in control and manipulation. I don't run with a pack.
So they wanted to say, we get this one, then we'll really have a strong one on our side. Cause,
well, yeah.
And people, they don't understand, like, you know, the metaphysical, like, or, you know, the mystical shamanistic view, you know, there's many dimensions beyond our world, the matter of the physical matter world. And there's these hidden forces that are at work. And, you know, in mysticism, you know, it's looked at that every manifested object, you know, comes from, in our material realm, it comes from a non-physical energy imprint of that object.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So,
no, you're right.
Yeah, and people don't even grasp that sort of talk, and they look at you like you're cuckoo. And it's when you add weaponized technology to that kind of knowledge and that kind of activation, it could be a dangerous thing.
Oh, absolutely. And the thing is, people haven't been taught. They don't even know they have an aura. They don't know they have a four-body system. They don't understand astral plane, astral projection. I mean, maybe some people do who are on the path of mysticism or the occult or the craft or witchcraft or something, but most people don't understand any of that, and they're afraid of it because they've been entrained with false indoctrinations that it's a scary thing. Well, you know what? It's more difficult to live in the illusion of a fake matrix than it is to be merged with source and in multiverse. I mean, it's so easy to navigate as a spirit because everything is frequency and consciousness. You let go and you let the streams of creation take you home. It's so much easier, but there's so much resistance here and there's so much deception. Our history has been censored. Nobody has any facts of where our benchmark is. Our celestial heritage, Ra, this is huge because, you know, you can say whatever you will about your ancestors, but go beyond that. You know, we don't have record of how much they interacted with off-world extraterrestrial, what I call off-world species, which are really our ancestors. Well, when I talk about the ancestors, I'm talking about our star ancestors, which is what we are. And that's a big deal. And we reach that through ascension, through higher consciousness, through DNA activation, through spiritual work, through mystical work. Yep. So,
I talk about on my website.
Yeah, that's why I really resonated with you. When I heard you talk on the interview, I was like, oh, this guy is so switched on. And that's why I reached out to you, because I was like, so sometimes it's like joy in my spirit to hear you communicate, because it's like, wow, when you think you're alone on the timeline and you don't know how many of us are out here. And then you were talking, I was like, oh, that's wonderful, you know?
Yeah, so see, when I'm a guest on other people's shows, I could talk like that. When I'm on my show, I got to have the guests, you know, do their thing. So, but when I'm a guest on other people's show, I can hear that. But we only got like 20 minutes left, and I wanted to ask you a few seconds before we lose some people. And I had a question or two in the chat room that came up. At what age, like, did you really start to know that you were psychic? And I know a lot of our listeners, they're really into stories of spirits and stuff like that. So for their pleasure and for mine as well, I wanted to know if you had any contact with spirits as a young girl, or if the spiritual realm, you know, made themselves aware to you at a young age that you kind of were like, what's going on here? Am I different? Am I schizophrenic? What's going on?
Yeah, I grew up in a magical household. As I said, it was always very spiritually inclined. So I always had a natural gift, first of all, see energy around people and also see and feel imprints and signatures of beings and life forms, what I call, I don't know what they were. They didn't look like ghosts to me or spirits. But I will tell you one thing, and that's happened when I was very young, I'd say 7, 8, 9. When I started getting older into my teens, I was able to do readings on people and natural readings and have predictions on people and tell them about things, whether they were good or bad. I would tell them ahead of time and it would happen. There were times when, you know, I would say, you know, get the door or the phone's going to ring. And we all have this, I'm sure. But literally within 5 minutes, somebody would be knocking on the door and then you wouldn't know if they were there, you know, and people look at me like, how did you know these things? But what really started cueing me was when I started seeing people in different timelines. I would look at people and I start seeing them in another life, like I saw them in different outfits and clothing. And I thought it was strange. It was like they were being modulated in front of my eyes. And when I would talk to them later on, I'd say, you know, I don't know if you like this or not, but I see you in this timeline and I see you like this. And they would go, wow, how did you know that? I've always had a connection to that. So who knows? But I believe in past lifetimes. And I believe that there are a lot of ancient souls here that come through, and we probably travel in groups and we see each other and reincarnate here on the timeline again. Yeah. And we recognize each other. We recognize what they were like beforehand, or, you know, so I've been able to do that. I've been able to access the Titanic, which I was never on, yet it was like I was on it because the room I remember hearing a woman talking about, and I told this story before, but I heard a woman being interviewed. She was one of the last survivors. And as I heard her voice pattern, everything around me started to disintegrate in my room, everything around me. And my hands started vibrating. Yeah, my body started vibrating. I got really weirded out because this happened to me when I was a teenager. And then I walked out, and I remember they had just painted
the
door.
Off the puzzle, like you were just sitting there alone. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Oh,
I started seeing what she was talking about, but everything was like I was going there remotely. And it was very interesting because I could hear the propulsion of the ship. I could see everything. And I got so weirded out, I walked out, and I put my hand and my head on this door that they had just painted. Unfortunately, my hair turned. No, I had green paint on my head because I couldn't handle it at the time. And this is what I mean by when you're first getting switched on to being able to perceive and remote view and do these things psychically, you're not understanding the dynamics. And then once you start calibrating to these different dimensions and you become more enlightened with your higher self anchoring in, you're able to assess things without being affected energetically. But that happened to me several times over. And of course, I told you about the premonition, which wasn't a premonition. But when I was inducted in 2004, my mother, I was inducted in April 2004 with that program. The covert program. My mother transferred out.
The Rush program, everybody, that she's talking about, 2004.
And my mother transferred out in June that same year. So what was interesting is that night when I was being modulated with all this communication, they told me, get up, go to the phone. Your mother's died. Your sister's going to call you from Maui. And I was in like an in-between space of, I don't even want to say a trance. I was beyond a trance. I went to the phone. I started to pick up the phone. It started to ring, and it was my sister telling me what had happened with my mother. So this is what I mean by the type of stuff that's going on here. And whether they were mapping my psychic ability and narrating, because what they tend to do is narrate your energy field. So it's not natural telepathy. It's synthetic telepathy. It's a little bit different. It's a little bit tweaked. But, you know, if you're a natural psychic and you're a natural telepath, well, all they do is hijack that, and then they modulate it a little bit, and then they've got a nice clean line. And this is a little bit different than the voice to skull in the old days. It's more modulated. It's very clean. It's more used for covert intel and sci-spy.
Now, do you think with the remote viewing, I guess I wouldn't call it remote viewing for me, but from my lineage and my history, I think I have certain things that could be equal to remote viewing about past events and stuff like that.
Yeah, you're a remote viewer. You know what it is, Ra? The military decided to create their own formula. What they did was they just created a streamlined version of remote viewing. But really, and I know Ed Dames would hate me for this, but it's really true. We, the psychics, the natural seers, were the original remote viewers. So, yeah. And he doesn't like witches, you know. He has a problem with people like that. Well, you know what I think it is? Because we see outside the illusion, and we can also see their agenda. Because when you're in the military, it's a weaponization of the mind. And the remote viewing becomes very weaponized.
We know the voice of the wind. We know how to speak to the earth, you know, and that's not technology. So do you think remote viewing the future is possible? Because timelines change. People change their minds. Right. Everything, you know, can change. So do you think it's even possible to remote view the future like that?
I think everything's in flux, and this is why when I do readings for people, I always tell them everything is modulated. It's really what their intent is. I try to teach people about empowerment.
I could see, I could see the past.
Mm-hmm.
But the future is always
it's always in flux. And I'll tell you right now, what people have to realize is, first of all, take your power back. Step by step, take your power back and create the reality you choose in alignment with the multiverse. That's how we deal with it. In other words, if we don't like the scenery, we change the scenery. And those of us who are skilled to do that can do that. And once again, this puts you on the radar, because once these guys realize that you're capable of doing these wonderful things with your mind, it makes a glitch in their system and it makes a glitch in their matrix, and they don't like that.
And our oversoul knows what we can do.
We have to
switch it on. Yeah, we have to switch it on.
I call it the soul star too, because it's always overseeing your experience on the timeline. Your higher self, oversoul, superconscious is your. To me, it's like that benchmark in the cosmos. It's never going to steer you wrong. Your emotional body might get out of whack, or your mental body and astral body, but the higher self, oversoul, is a godhead. It's an ascended master consciousness. It will never steer you wrong. It's merged with the full light universe.
Yeah, even James Barley was saying how he loves that word, oversoul.
Oh, yeah, and me too.
Yeah, I love that word, oversoul. So also with your experience, do you equal that to a MyLab experience almost? And also with this MyLab experience, from what I've understood from the past and different research I've done and different experiences I've had, I think that it tends to run in genetic lines maybe, and maybe you can even be born into a program somehow, and you think it somehow runs in your family history because of you said you come from a very magical house. You think somehow that you were kind of born into this program?
Yeah, I believe I was. And I never realized it, but I know we have the gifts. We have the abilities and we have the lineage. And with that, then that's just a linear lineage. That doesn't include our multidimensional space of consciousness. But yeah, I believe that that is the case because there were certain things that happened to my grandmother. She used to douse for oil and make people very wealthy in Texas a long time ago. She was a very powerful clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient, very, very powerful.
She made the dowsing rods, like the metal rods.
She made people wealthy. She never made any money. But I'll tell you what was really strange about a story my mom told me with her is that they used to follow her, these men in black types, and that they would follow her and my mother and her sisters. And my mother passed this on to me and said, if anybody ever comes near you, if anybody follows you, go to a Mason, go to a 33-degree Mason, high-ranking Mason, and tell them that you're a granddaughter of a 33-degree Mason and tell them that you need help. Now, why would my mother tell me this? I don't know if she saw something down the road. I don't know. But I'll tell you, it's very strange. And when you talk about the military abductions, yes, when you get pulled into these programs, it becomes militarized very quickly. Mosbach has connections to the military. He's military. He has a military background, and he's very covert. So, yeah, you automatically get interconnected in these programs when it comes down to using your brain templates. What they do is they measure what I call mind mapping. They'll measure your electromagnetic field and everything you have and create a brain template that they can use to distribute, whether it's for training other people. It's like the Hive Collective, like Heterodyne. They can actually use brainwave templates to do that. And there are a lot of people who have recall of being underground labs, and I know we've touched on this off air. I have only remember one thing, that I was being wheeled in a gurney with military personnel underground. And I do remember that I don't think they were trying to hurt me. I think they were trying to help me. But what's really strange is there was a person standing over me here in this world. And I was sleeping when this was happening, but I kept seeing this, like, because I was getting jammed with communication. And he was standing over me and he goes, wake up, they're killing you. And I thought that was really strange.
Jesus. Yeah. That is crazy.
Yeah, that's really wild.
What I was just thinking when you were talking, I don't know if you want me to mention when we were talking privately before the show, you mentioned how you had that experience with the two like MIB figures.
Oh yeah, you can, yeah.
Okay, you remember? Oh, you could tell the story in a second. I mean, we got 10 minutes. So when you were just talking, I was thinking about your mom having that experience with the MIB, the Men in Black. I was thinking, you know, sometimes you know our ancestors, especially our mother, you know the. And I know your mom had passed on like mine. Sometimes we don't even just inherit like a, you know, like cheekbones of your mom or your nose of the mom. Sometimes you inherit maybe the essence of their experiences that they've had in their life.
I totally agree. And what's really interesting, and I touch on this in my book,
maybe that's from that. Maybe
yeah,
that's
it's
what
a
you
dark. Would, you're
an
right.
Imprint of her experience.
It is, because when I was when she transferred out, there was definitely something going on. Where it was almost like they transferred a part of her into me. And I think
tell
that was done through
about
a very
that,
dark
and MIB, what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. When I was actually, this was actually a couple of years ago when I was out of my body, and I know how to astral travel versus just regular dream time. I was out of my body and I, you know, went through the door and all this stuff, and I looked out and I saw these two MIBs, and they were there shadowing me. In other words, usually I have free reign when I'm astral traveling. But after I was inducted, I noticed that there's these things now that track me. They're shadow men, and there's two of them. They don't seem to bother me. They don't, but they're there. And another thing I mentioned to you was when I was an expert presenter at the Super Soldier Summit, and I was walking down the corridor at night to go to my hotel room. I saw two shadows following me, and this wasn't an optical illusion or lighting. This was two shadow people following me into my room. And then I remember I didn't even change clothes. I basically lied down on my bed and I was out. So.
Damn.
Very interesting stuff. But what that does is that when they pull you into these programs with artificial intelligence, a lot of things attach onto you. Yeah, I'm a firm believer that
nice and calm.
Right. I'm a firm believer that the MIBs, the real MIBs, not the feds, not these guys that pretend to be, the real ones are definitely wired for artificial telepathy, and they definitely have, in my opinion, the same similar technology that I was exposed to. So I think that's the real MIB that people don't really know about, the ones that have that hybrid AI program.
And you think they're just straight astral beings, or they're manifesting into physical?
I think they're modulated. I think they have a host insofar
like
as they can be physical. Yeah. But what happens is they get so interconnected with all kinds of technology, and some of it's exotic, that they morph. They become different. They basically, you know how we can shapeshift? Well, they can too. And through frequency and modulation of the wave. So they can look like a lot of different things to people. But I would say most of them are basically animated through the transmission of frequency versus prana or life force or soul or spirit, which makes them kind of dead men walking, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah. So they're almost like, you know, the walking dead in a way.
Right.
Yeah, and everybody, if you're just joining us in the chat room, or if you've been here the whole time, I know sometimes this stuff is hard to grasp, but you just gotta do your own research. You'll see that this is real stuff. We got Eric in the chat room, Solaris, that's saying, "Do you think that we're living in some kind of computer simulation?"
I think they're trying to create a computer simulation. I'll tell you right now, we live in a very vast multiverse and everything is energy and consciousness. That I can tell you. I do know that they're using an array system to control and manipulate reality. And they're trying to digitize everything right down to your spiritual design and your blueprint. Anytime you interconnect with a computer or your iPhone, you're getting digitized to some degree. So yeah, I think they are creating one, but I also know we live in a very holographic multiverse and anything goes. You can create and manifest anything as you go, but it usually is in alignment with the multiverse and source. But down here, it's like everybody, it's like the gods of war. Everybody's out of control. You know, we talked about a battlefield here, Ra. It really is a battlefield. This is like, I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen a war like this before.
Yeah, it's a spiritual war, and we're going through a transition that you're either going to get polarized to the dark or polarized to the light, where it's going down, you know?
Yep.
And just I was looking, I don't really watch much TV. What do we got? We got 5 minutes. I don't even watch much TV, but my daughter was watching Netflix before, and I mentioned to you, and then she had American Horror Story on. And, you know, she's 17, 18 years old, so it's like she could watch stuff now. But they were glorifying serial killers. I didn't catch the whole show, but it's some kind of – it's the newer season, I think. It's some kind of serial killing motel. And at the table were all these – the ghosts of all these serial killers. They got Richard Ramirez acting like he's Jim Morrison, all like a rock star, acting all cool. And you got John Wayne Gacy there. You got Jeffrey Dahmer. They're glorifying him, you know. And it's mind-boggling. There was who else was there? The Eileen Wuornos, the one that killed all those men.
Wow.
She was there as well. She was there as well. Like they were glorifying all of it.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. They're trying to entrain the masses into thinking that violence and serial killers is cool. You know, this is what
and
I mean
Lady
by mind.
Lady Gaga lived there. She was like the head vampire.
You know, Lady Gaga's been hacked, too. I mean, there were times when she said she was hearing voices and everything else, and she thought she was being possessed. And that technology with the artificial telepathy can actually create an electronic possession, which isn't demonic, but it simulates demonic possession because it's a remote mind hack and brain hack. They can remotely animate your body. That's another scenario altogether. But interesting that she was involved in that because she is definitely a monarch, if you ask me.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I believe the same. And it's even the shows like Walking Dead, they make it so... A couple of things happen when somebody sees The Walking Dead. Either on one end, it makes people value their material world so much that they'll do anything to keep it because look what can happen. This could happen. We want to keep all the stuff we got because we can lose it one day. Or they make people crave Armageddon. There's people running around wanting to kill zombies, and you know it's a weird thing that they're implanting in people. People keep watching no matter what.
And they polarize, too. And then when they polarize, then you're staying in the matrix. You've got to get out of the polarization and transcend. And that's through frequency and higher consciousness, path working like you do. I love the fact that you're out there and doing the work you're doing and teaching and being an enlightened being, because that's going to help other people on the timeline.
Yeah, I do readings for people, oracle readings as well on my website.
Awesome. Yeah, I know. You're fantastic. I encourage everybody to support you 100%. And I do want to thank you. I know we're running out of time, but I want to thank you so much, Ra. I just love you. You're just like a spiritual brother to me. You're very sweet and very enlightened. So thank you.
I feel like a spiritual, you know, as well. Like we're like siblings spiritually. I feel that with a few people. Even my friend Masaki, you know, we've really connected, you know, over the last couple months, last 2 months or so.
Nice.
And, you know, and I it's really an honor that you even, you know, thought of me and asked me to be on your shows. And Hyperspace, I'm really feeling, I mean, the Witching Hour is cool. You know me, I'm a witch, you know, I love the name, but I'm really feeling the vibe of Hyperspace. I really like it.
You're going to love it. Yeah. You're going to love it. We're going to have fun. Yeah.
I really like that whole, even the it resonates with me. Just that name,
excellent.
You know, I really love it. And guys and gals, she's got a new book, and even though she says it's not that thick of a book, it's got tons of data in it. It's like a good stocking stuffer, right?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, it's mind-blowing because it's multiversal, and it's also a spin-off of the technology I was interfaced with in 2004. So I think you're going to enjoy it. It takes place in 2018, and it's actually right here in sync with what's happening on the planet.
And you're listening to The Mystical Spiral Radio. Our hour goes by so fast, so we're going to probably have her back on again in the future, so we can go deep down the spiral of life. This is Solaris Blue Raven, solarisblueraven.web.com. I'm at themysticalspiral.com. My name is Ra, and it's a beautiful crescent moon outside. Spiral out.
Thank you.
Get the book, everybody.